Come on to my house, to my house. I'm gonna give you candy. Come on to my house, to my house. I'm gonna give you an apple and a plum and an apricot or two. Hey.
Welcome to Food for Thought. Join us for a thought-provoking glimpse into the world of the food that we savor. Meet the women and men who are growing it, foraging for it, raising it, cooking it, and who share it with the rest of us. Today's guest is Karen Brooks. Karen is with the Humboldt County Office of Education Hydro Farm, which is located out at Redwood Acres. How would you describe what a hydro farm is, Karen?
Well, it's in a nutshell, pardon the pun, it's soilless gardening.
Uh-huh.
So you're growing food in nutrients. So it's not like aquaponics. Hydroponics is a nutrient-based system that is just single-source nutrients in a channel, and the roots, the plants grow from seeds.
And it looks like when you go out there, it's like a giant greenhouse. So not only do you have the plants growing in the nutrients, but it's an entirely covered system. So it's warmer and it's protected.
So it's completely enclosed. So it's climate controlled. We have a Wadsworth brain who controls humidity and temperature. So if it gets too hot, the vents open. If it's not hot enough, then the floor is hydronic. So our hot water heaters kick in and get the temperature going. So it's about 70 degrees is the ideal growing temperature.
And the connection is with American Hydroponics, AmHydro.
Right.
How did that connection get made between County Office of Ed and American Hydroponics?
About a year ago, January, Jenny Harris with AmHydro, John Sapper, who's a deputy superintendent, and Jennifer Budwig, who's with Redwood Capital Bank, just all got together and said, have you thought about an educational thing for the students where it's growing food? And we have FFA programs, but this was really kind of for an alternative high school setting where it was a career type of opportunity for these students. So they kind of brainstormed. They really thought it had merit, went before the board in April. The board loved it. They actually broke ground about a year ago. And what was amazing was the building and trades instructor up at McKinleyville High had his students come and break ground. And so it was like almost student built. Then, of course, summer happens, and AmHydro and their technicians really helped with the structural and the technology side of that. But it's really nice to know that students got it started, and the building and trades instructor has been involved the whole time just to make sure that everything was ready to go for the operational and production side.
What's your particular background with growing crops and with farming and that sort of thing? Because you're kind of managing this operation down there.
Well, there's three of us who are kind of managing. So we have a technician from AmHydro, Parker. We have an instructor at the community school, which is Mark Johnson. I'm kind of like the business marketing side. So my background is a private sector. Been working in marketing and for local businesses for a long time. Came on with the Humboldt Office of Education about 5 years ago. And, you know, the funny thing is I'm the first generation off our family farm in North Carolina. So it's really, I mean, I would go back and work the family farm in the summers and stuff like that. And so it's really nice to be back in the farm, but it's weird because there's no soil for me to get my hands dirty. But I love the environment. I love what the students are doing. And I love the beautiful produce we produce every week. It just defies me as a farmer that it grows in 6 weeks. I mean, I can see it, I can understand it, but I've just never grown things that way.
Really? Yeah, because it even defies the packets of seeds, doesn't it? Because the packets of seeds will tell you how long it takes for something to grow, and these are actually beating those estimates as well.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you plant a seed in an Oasis cube, and 2 days later, it sprouts. You know, and so I'm kind of like the watch pot, you know, it's like, okay, sprout, 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 and then it's not. And here it just, I wake up the next morning, it's like, I can't believe it. I can see it, but I just don't believe it.
Uh-huh.
So, and then the fact that you have this living, edible plant in 6 weeks that's fully matured is, wow.
It seems like it's a pretty new field, though. So you kind of are getting some cutting edge information about how to operate one of these things and how to produce food in one. How is that information kind of getting back and shared with other people?
Well, our first year is really kind of the benchmark. So we're really kind of seeing how this all works. What we find is the seeds that we get are organic, and they're suited for a hydroponic environment and for a greenhouse environment. So they are kind of specialized normal seeds. We go to with Johnny's and Paramount seed companies, and they're just really super consistent. They germinate all the time. You know, you don't have any failures with any of the seeds. So we start with good seeds. I think every farmer will attest to that. And then it's just washed in a nutrient system. And there's like this stone foam oasis cube, which is the medium for the roots to hold on to and uptake the nutrients. And it lives its whole life in that oasis cube. In fact, when we harvest it, they're living plants. You could put them in soil and continue to grow them. And some of our farm share members are doing that. But the idea is you'd cut off the oasis cube and compost that and then eat the plant. And it's so clean, even though you don't really need to wash it off at all. Yeah.
I know, we're so used to dirt, wash the dirt off, but there's no dirt on these plants to wash off.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And the one thing that we're really experimenting with, it relates to your question, is, you know, with any kind of thing that grows in nature, pests are a part of that system. And so we're really looking at biologics and not using the herbicides and pesticides. And so that has been the most wonder for all of us is, okay, what is this? How do we treat this naturally? So we have little ladybugs and some neotobes and those type of things, and we're still learning. So I think as summer comes on and it really gets warm and the bugs really come out because the climate's great, we're going to be challenged with some other opportunities to learn. So it's fun.
Another thing is pollination, because you don't have any insects in there to pollinate. So how do you pollinate things?
Yeah, and that was my first thought when I went in the greenhouse. It's like, there's no bees in here. How do we do this? We need bees. We have fans going 24/7. So the air circulating in there is critical to the pollen. So it's contained in that system. So some of our tomatoes, the cherry tomatoes, we have to hand pollinate, which is kind of a funny, we're the bird and the bees.
Is this the paintbrush technique?
Yeah. So we've had to do that. And so we're finding when we do that, our cherries really are more successful. Mm-hmm. If we don't, then you find where the wind drifts is and where those tomatoes are getting pollinated. So it's, mm-hmm. again, it's a wonder. You know, I hear and see everything that's going on, and I come back the next day, and the green beans have gone from a little tiny quarter of an inch to 6 inches, and cucumbers have tripled in size. And if I stand there long enough, I could probably watch it grow.
Now, I know you talk about pests, and one of the interesting things when I went for a tour of your farm there is just kind of walking through the door, because you don't want people bringing in any sort of disease. So how do you have them prepare to just come for a tour through the facility?
Well, we ask that all the personal items like your jacket or purse or backpack not be in the facility. Then we have everyone wash hands. I mean, it's the humans that are the contaminant. So we just want to limit the amount of risk that's brought in. So everyone washes hands. They wear like in a food service, they wear a hat. They have an apron. They even change their shoes. We'll probably end up doing like a foot bath going in as well, because that's one thing we haven't done. And we've known in other greenhouses they do that as well. So we just want to eliminate that as much as possible, because the food safety is so important, that they know that it's fresh and wholesome and healthy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And one of the things that you had people do was take off some of their outer layers, which mm-hmm. I really appreciate when I went in, because you say it's 70 degrees in there, but it feels so much warmer because of the humidity.
Right. And there's a threshold. There's a monitor in the middle of the greenhouse that measures the humidity and the temperature. And so when it gets outside of that ideal growing cycle, vents will open or the heater will kind of kick in and just kind of keep it at that consistent tropical. But yeah, the humidity in there makes it seem warmer.
Okay.
And you need sunglasses too.
Oh, yeah.
Because it's really bright and sunny in there.
Well, this is all very interesting, learning more about hydro farming in Humboldt County. We're going to come back next week and talk to Karen Brooks some more about what's going on at the Humboldt County Office of Education Hydro Farm.
Thank you.
And the cakes. Hey, come on to my house, come on.
If you have any questions or comments about this program, please call the listener comment line at 826-6089. You can hear this broadcast again at the KHSU website under archived programs at khsu.org. This program is also available on iTunes. Food for Thought is produced in the KHSU studios located at Humboldt State University. Our engineer is Jessica Eden, and producer is Jennifer Bell. Join us again next Friday on KHSU for another edition of Food for Thought.